This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Tomorrow, a sentimental return to the town that I grew up in, the town where we raised our children, the town where I worked, the place where I worked as a teenager. For just $8 an hour, Curtis. Talk about Blue Collar Fridays, waxing automobiles at the American Heritage Museum when I was just a young man. So we will be there tomorrow.
And now you travel with a guy that waxes your Jeep.
As we get ready for Veterans Day on Monday and our Flex Friday show. Cannot wait to see all of you, and cannot wait for all of you to see the over 60,000 square feet of military artifacts, everything from tanks to planes to actual prisoner of war cells from the Hanoi Hilton. I like incredible stuff tomorrow morning. Breakfast for the first 100 of you on us who are there with us tomorrow, and your chance to say thank you to those men and women who have served this country who will be with us tomorrow morning. And if that's you, cannot wait to see you tomorrow morning. And then we have Lunch with a Hero, our third annual Lunch with a Hero after tomorrow at the 110 Grill. It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up at 9. We have a new feature that we are launching, I believe, at 8:45, which is called Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us.
All right.
Before we get to that, though, Courtney has the rest of this morning's news.
And there's a new Tinder swindler in the news.
Ooh.
Franklin Nwadiallo, a 40-year-old Nigerian national. He's been arrested for running a romance fraud, and he got over $3 million bucks doing
so. From different women?
Yep.
Or from
different women.
$3
million? Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Nwadiallo would meet people on dating sites and build up relationships, then ask for money. In one case, this is the biggest case, he claimed he was in the military and he was fined $150,000, in which he didn't have. This victim gave him nearly $2.5 million.
Wow.
Oh my God. How old was the dude?
40. I tried to find a photo of him to see if he was handsome. I can't find it anywhere.
Are most of these women that get caught up in this, are they older women?
I'm guessing older.
Yeah, I would bet they are.
But he's also finding women that have almost $2.5 million to send him over, you know, a period of time.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, but the lonely heart needs companionship.
That's right.
That's the problem.
And they're willing to dish out bread.
People are so lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he paying them back, or is the money's probably gone?
Yeah, the money is definitely gone. But
is it a crime though?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
It's fraud.
But if he's like, you know, just having, like, I love you, and I'm, you know, making him feel good, and then no different than what every woman does on OnlyFans to men.
No.
When they drain their bank accounts?
Wiggy, you make a pretty good point.
Well,
is this Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us, or are we doing that at 8:45? That's a pretty good point.
Right, but you can make that argument about, like, a bartender that's being nice to you. Like, it's,
right.
You know, you go to a bar, she's working there.
Right.
You
so
go to OnlyFans.
All he did was, but he was fraudulent in expressing his love for them.
So what? People do that all the time, and how do you say it? IRL in real life?
Yeah.
He's just making money doing it.
Uh-huh.
Where's the crime in that? Women do it every single...
So you're saying, what is the difference between what this guy did
right.
and what Bill Belichick's girlfriend is doing.
It's
essentially what you're saying.
Right. Listen, any young woman that is with an older gentleman, what is the diff?
What's the diff?
Right. No. Somebody explain to me how that is a crime.
Well,
I mean,
that's a good point.
Did he lock her up? No,
he didn't steal the money. She gave it to him.
I am confused on this one.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well. All right.
And there was a guy going viral because Hertz tried to charge him 10 grand for miles after he drove 25,000 in a month. That is a lot. But he was on an unlimited miles rental.
Oh, yeah. You can choose to get the unlimited miles.
All right.
So how many? He rented a car.
Yep.
Got the unlimited miles and then drove 25,000. So they're like, unlimited does not mean 25,000.
Well, they are apologizing now.
Oh, they are.
Okay. But we can hear the victim, Logan, recording the interaction between he and Hertz.
You're going to charge this to $10,000 to my credit?
Yes.
When this literally, that's not even allowed. But I never signed.
You show me where it says I can't charge it.
It literally says to refer to this if there's anything extra. I've never signed anything saying that I could only go 100 miles a day or anything like that, or that I would have to pay more.
Right. But you also never, like you said earlier,
I never have signed that.
You never signed anything that's in that. But you also never signed anything saying we allowed you to drive 25,000 miles.
No, unlimited is what, 100,000 miles.
No, it is not.
Unlimited is unlimited.
Right.
Right.
I'm surprised he was even able to find an actual person who would debate with him. Usually that comes up and everybody goes behind the counter and disappears. And they're like, Bill is like, we charge your credit card. See ya.
Yeah.
Is there anything that is not recorded anymore?
No.
No.
Every interaction.
Well, you need receipts.
I know. I hear you.
You need receipts.
Good for him. But
it's like, didn't we do a thing where people were mad? The restaurant was mad because, like, a bunch of fat people came in there and completely destroyed the buffet.
What?
And then got mad at them.
Is that the all-you-can-eat shrimp at the Red Lobster?
I don't remember. It's like, well, it's all-you-can-eat. And now you're trying to kick me out? I felt like we did a story like that.
Huh? I mean, if you don't want it to be unlimited miles, then change the name of it.
Say, hey, you can only go 5,000 miles. Anything after that, it's going to cost you $1 a mile.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
My question is, why does the guy give a damn? It's not his car. It's Hertz. Like, why would you be so confrontational in that spot?
Well, because he didn't want to pay the 10 grand.
No, the guy that worked for Hertz.
Oh, the guy who works there. Oh,
like, what does he care?
Yeah, you should have been like, you're right, dude. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Now we have the dumbest of the day.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
All right, we listened to everything that happened yesterday, Curtis, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
Far be it from me to critique national holidays or state holidays that make no sense, considering we spent about an hour on National Nacho Day the other day. But in Oregon, there is a new holiday, Exploding Whale Day.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Wiggy loves that meme. Yes. Remember the whale they had on the beach and they blew the thing up? Yes. If I remember correctly, it's one of your favorites.
We have some videos of whales being blown up, too, for those on Twitch.
So
did anybody join me in the battle to save the whales on, like, Nat Geo? Did you ever see those? Bob Barker bought these boats, and they would try and interrupt the fishing and harvesting of whales in, like, the South Pacific?
Oh.
Anyway, great show. It was pretty cool. But anyway, here's a whale exploding. In Florence, Oregon, there was an event in 1970 where a whale carcass was blown up on the beach, sending chunks of blubber all over the area, and they are honoring that beautiful moment. And here is the sound of the actual explosion.
Well, I'm confident that it'll work. The only thing is, we're not sure just exactly how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing so the scavengers, seagulls, and crabs and whatnot can clean it up.
Oh my God.
Our cameras stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere. A parked car over a quarter of a mile from the blast site was the target of one large chunk. The passenger compartment literally smashed. Everyone on the scene was covered with small particles of dead whale.
Look at those cars are destroyed by it.
So
unbelievable.
Gross.
People went to it. So that now, does everybody get the day off? Wiggy said the other day he's in favor of any and all holidays.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what we're celebrating.
I believe in Florence, they are all getting the day off.
I have a question, Greg. Ask a boomer quickly.
Yes.
So let's say you're there with two other friends. It's just three cars. And that happens, and your cars are totaled.
Yeah.
What do you do? You're in the middle of nowhere on a beach in the middle of Oregon.
You have to hitch a ride, as the expression would be, with somebody else, or you would have to walk until you found a payphone. Hopefully you had a dime on you, and then you would have to call and get your mom or your dad to come pick you up at the Chunks of Blubber event.
And one more question.
Yes.
That's why there were so many serial killers. They were just picking you up on the road.
Oh, yeah.
That's
did you true. Travel with a flashlight in your car?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And one of those tools that you could use if you're ever submerged in water to cut your seatbelt off.
And break your windows?
Oh, no. Yeah, Ted Kennedy did not have that.
You still use Spock plugs to do
and
that.
I appreciate the attempt. I think it was on the Subaru of New England text line. But Chunks of Blubber is not what trainer Dan and I are calling our training routine for the 5K. So I appreciate you suggesting.
And the show was Whale Wars. Really good show.
Really good show?
Yeah.
Nat Geo?
One of those things. I don't know. Just Google it.
Take you for a Nat Geo guy, Curtis.
I don't know what it was. It was very interesting. They would try and attack these boats that were killing whales, and it was a very interesting drama.
All right. Is that it?
That's
on the
it.
News? Great job, Courtney.
Thank you.
Coming up at 9, we'll talk to Mike Milbury about the struggling Boston Bruins on a Bruins Thursday. But right now, here's Courtney and what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics fall to the Warriors at home, 118 to 112, the final from the TD Garden. Jason Tatum led the way with 32 points, while Derek White had a good game, 26 points for him in the loss. The second quarter was a rough one for the Seas, but they did come back after halftime with some fight in them. Here's what Joe Mazzulla had to say about what changed between the second and the third.
Nimi did a great job just getting us offensive rebounds, getting us extra possessions. We got out in transition. Just execution. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of just executing and making the shot. So I thought we missed some two-on-one reads in the first half. We found those in the second half and gave us a chance.
The Bruins welcome the Flames to the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7. And Thursday Night Football, the Bengals are at the Ravens. Game time at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI.
Ooh, what about Shime? Are you working in the lead up to the game tonight?
I'm sorry. I was editing audio. What was that?
Will you be working in the lead up to the game this evening?
No,
as you sometimes do.
Yes, Greg, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to stress brag a little bit. No, I actually worked Tuesday night, a full 4-hour program with John Lyons.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So Ken has taken me off tonight, so I'll be off prior to football tonight.
Okay. Full foursy.
And that show Tuesday night, that's called Chunks of Blubber. Am I correct about that?
I don't know. Lyons is in pretty good shape.
Okay.
As are you.
Right. Thank you, Courtney.
I'm going to put all my money on Blubba Watson in the next PGA.
Ooh, all right, Wiggy. Hey.
I love the Blubba. Blubba's such a funny word.
Sticking in the NFL, tough news for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's hamstring tendon has partially pulled away from the bone. He's not been placed on IR yet, but those close to the situation say they believe he will be out for more than 4 weeks. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. No chance of any blubber here in Boston. 60 degrees, partly cloudy, afternoon high 67.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Well, that was the problem, Courtney, with the whale that was exploded in the 1970s. It was not in the ocean. It was sitting on the warm beach for days. 8 tons worth of whale.
Mm.
And for those that are asking, there is a documentary about that incident which came up during the news because they have made it an official. Exploding Whale Day is now an official holiday in Oregon. And the documentary is called The Exploding Whale Incident, in which they decided that the best way to deal with an 8-ton whale carcass was to blow it to attempt to blow it to smithereens.
Well, because don't they blow up on their own if you don't get rid of it?
I think they do because the gases build up inside or whatever.
Correct.
And so, but they should have just, I don't know what else you would have done.
Is that how you want to go, Craig?
Maybe tow it out and just dump it in the ocean or something like that.
It becomes an issue because of the size of the truck that you need to drive on the sand.
On the sand.
Yes.
Couldn't you lift it up with like a bunch of like properly timed excavators or something like that? And then,
well, I think maybe
couldn't you just cut it up? Like, wouldn't
people could take it home and eat it?
If it's a issue of it blowing up on its own because of gas buildup, then wouldn't you just be able to puncture a hole and make it, you know, chop it up in pieces?
Well, Greg, you remember a time when you used whale blubber to light the candles on the street.
That is true. The lanterns, actually.
The lanterns, yes.
Take you a long time with a bunch of chainsaws. You're better off, like they said in the documentary, blowing it up, and then it's like, you know, an all-you-can-eat whale blubber buffet for all the critters, the seagulls, and everything else that's on this.
Curtis, you might remember this, but early in my radio career, there was a somewhat famous fan club for a midday radio show. It was ladies only, and I think they called it Dale's Whales.
Dale here.
If I remember. Was that... Am I correct about that?
You sure are. That's a great memory.
Okay.
I didn't think you would remember that today.
Yeah,
that
was quite some. It was quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Apropos,
I remember Ladies Only.
I don't know why they called them that. But
it's a big hit.
Everybody always asks me what my issue with Dale is, and I say, "How much time do you have?" But the real issue, just if we're going to be honest, it was in 2008. He and Michael Hawley were discussing Election Day. It was the day that everyone voted Obama the first time. And Dale said that his polling station was down because his guy was going to lose. Then 5 years later, he told everybody he voted Obama in 2008. So if you can't even be direct about that, I don't know what else to tell
you. Didn't he also buy muffins and not give you one?
Well, that was part of it. Anyway, can we talk about people that don't like me too?
Yes.
Ben Volen has a good story in the Globe about Gerard Mayo. And very interestingly, he cites where people say things, except if it's on this show, it's just WEEI, which I respect. It's not my fault, Ben. You made up the source. But either
Maybe
way.
The amuse bouche.
He discusses the Mayo correction with us immediately regarding the wind comment and the attempt to say that there were constantly getting, there was a long preparation and buildup in anticipation of a touchdown regarding the desire to or not to go for two at the conclusion of the regular season of the regulation on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Ben makes a lot of good points where...
What is his intention here? To say that Mayo is making too many mistakes?
The thesis of this is that the mistakes and problems are piling up, not decreasing, for Gerard Mayo.
Okay.
In that the quarterback after the game let it slip that he was throwing into the wind. Then the next day on WEEI with our afternoon show, Drake May said that I was wrong to say that. Yeah. So the quarterback's cleaning up for the coach, and the coach not deciding to go for two, Ben surmises could be that he was just trying to play it safe. He didn't want to go for two and be the story if they lost.
Yeah.
But that the way he answered the questions immediately following the game led many to believe, including Ben and myself, that he maybe wasn't as prepared as he would have liked to be in that spot for the opportunity to win it in regulation.
Well, a rookie head coach in the NFL is going to make mistakes, right? So I guess the question is, how many of those are you okay with?
I think you're okay with as many as they have, especially in the first year.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
As long as it doesn't affect Drake, like as long as his mistakes don't impact Drake's success or ability to improve, like, you know, they're both learning.
Right. And I think like that. And when I think of mistakes, I just think of like the decision making stuff, like, you know, so Drake's, you know, got to develop and all those things are part of what Drake needs to do. Like the biggest mistake that I think Gerard Mayo made was not playing Drake May from day one. Like, that to me is the biggest miss. And granted, it took him whatever it was, 6 weeks. But that's the thing that I look at and I go, that's my biggest criticism of you. Are you going to have some in-game issues? Yes. Are you going to make some mistakes as a rookie head coach? Yes. Is there going to be a learning process? Yes. Like, all those things, I'm cool with, especially when my expectations for your team weren't very high from day one. So what am I, you know, I want to see, are you making those same mistakes as a head coach in year two?
And I agree with almost everything Wiggy's been saying about Mayo, that you can't fire him. They won't, Robert Kraft has said all these things. He's dug himself a hole that if he tries to fire him, he'll really embarrass himself. I grant you all those points. But if this continues and Drake May is having to also carry the head coach as well as an awful roster, and Ben Johnson or your brilliant offensive mind du jour is available but only as a head coach, I think you're going to have to think long and hard about that. My dad was showing me these emails they've been sending to season ticket holders, inviting them to on-field opportunities. They sense the passion of the fan base is dwindling.
Yeah.
And if the season ends as poorly as it stands right now, I don't know. I don't think it's a 0% chance as I did at the beginning of the year.
But it's less than 3%.
But when it comes to learning on the job,
yep.
I mean, this particular job needs to be one where you're picking up on it pretty quick, especially when you have, as Courtney mentioned, an excellent quarterback and
right.
somebody who is I think everybody believes has the potential to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to keep making mistakes.
Well, I would ask this question.
Can you argue that you're making mistakes that you shouldn't be making because you had the opportunity to learn under Bill Belichick and not make a mistake as simple as one might call it when it comes to picking the direction that you want to go on the field with during a win situation?
But see
are the issues that have occurred off the field and with guys speaking out in opposition to what might be the team's direction, are those mistakes that he's making because he chose to, has said over and over again, I want these guys to say whatever they want to say, social media-wise and everywhere else? Is that a
mistake?
I'm
not subscribing to this whole stupid win thing because no one had this as an issue
in game
Monday or Sunday after the game. Like, they weren't even talking about it on the broadcast.
Right.
The whole win thing, nobody knew about until like a day or two ago. I would say
he talked about it with us Monday morning.
Who?
Mayo did. He's quoted in the story from our interview talking about the win thing at the end of the
game.
Who
did we ask the question about? Did somebody ask a question?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Wiggy. It's May, not Mayo, that I just read this quote with. I'm sorry. It was in the afternoon.
May mentioned it during the afternoon
show. Right, so that's where it was an issue there.
Right, but I mean, we didn't it wasn't something that we came...
Was he using that as an excuse? I guess that would be your argument, is that he brought it up as an excuse. And it wasn't a factor.
Like every question that we had with Mayo on Monday, that where we might have been questioning him as a coach was the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
And nobody thought about the whole win thing. I agree with you, Greg. Maybe some of the way he's done things as far as the open book policy of guys being able to give their opinion created some of the issues that he might want to do differently next year.
Well, because Greg bringing up the fact that he was under Bill Belichick, so should he not have such a long leash when it comes to making mistakes as a rookie head coach? I think he didn't like the way Bill ran things, so he
right.
wants to go so far the opposite that that's where the mistakes are coming from. And I think now, this far into the season, he's realizing, wait, maybe Bill had a point to making these decisions or keeping the locker room as tight as he did because it was less of a headache for everybody else. I just think that he swung too far the opposite mm-hmm. than what Bill did or how he handled the team.
Here's a text from New Hampshire, which says, had this discussion yesterday. In what other business would you hire a CEO with no experience? Why is it acceptable in the NFL?
I cannot... You mean, why do they do that? Because guess what? The majority of the guys that get hired are not having head coach experience before.
But they normally have coordinator
experience. What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm not arguing for or against.
I'm arguing.
With the Texans.
Yeah, I think it's stupid when they bring that up. Mike McDaniels wasn't even a coordinator in San Francisco. Dan Campbell wasn't a coordinator in Miami. So it's and he had no head coaching experience. Guys, that's the reason.
Sean McVay has been to two Super Bowls, never had a head coach.
Right.
His only experience was coaching Wiggy in the UFL.
And he was in Washington, right? So the reason why it says new head coach, because you've never been a head coach, so you don't have that experience. Andy Reid didn't have it his first go-around. I think the biggest...
But how do they do this, Wiggy? And I agree. How do they go forward with Drake May? Do you think they just bring back Van Pelt? Or is there a new coordinator this offseason? Because I think it is not possible. I think it is likely that if they keep Mayo another year, that Drake May will have had three coordinators in his first 3 years in the NFL, which is very hard to overcome.
Right. But so, that's why I don't think they're going to move on from Gerard Mayo. I think the biggest, and I was going to ask the room this
question. But so Van Pelt's going to be back?
No, I think maybe they make the decision to go in a new direction, potentially with new offense coordinator. I would ask.
And so if Mayo loses his job next year, that's three coordinators in 3 years.
Yeah, but assumedly, hopefully, if you bring in a better offensive coordinator, your offense would be better. Therefore, you'd win more games. Therefore, he wouldn't get fired.
Right. Okay. So, yeah.
It's kind of the thought process there.
Right. And
are you going to get a really, really good, legit coordinator who wants to work under Gerard Mayo 1 year in based on what they've seen?
I mean, who wouldn't want to work with Drake May?
Right.
That's more the question.
Belichick.
Yeah, sure. But
he's got that hitch.
Hell yeah. I think that's long gone. But like, I just look at a guy, like if you're talking in the NFL right now, a guy that might get fired, that might become available, that would be a perfect fit is a guy like Brian Daboll. Or as I said yesterday, the one guy who just feels like would be the perfect fix to all this would be Josh McDaniels. He'd never going to leave because he'd never get a head coaching job again. We know he knows how to call an offense. And Gerard Mayo would still be the guy in charge.
Who do you think McDaniel sides with if he has opportunities on Belichick's staff and Gerard Mayo's staff?
Well, that's just, yeah, if Belichick is a coach, sure, probably Belichick. But Belichick would have to be a coach for that to be possible.
And I think that's the likelihood.
How much does Drake have a say in this? If he's the future and you're talking about getting him a new offensive coordinator, does he have a say? Do they have a conversation with
him? Zero.
Because I kind of think he should.
He has zero say. And then again, how do you know who, like Ben Johnson? Right, yeah. Everybody likes Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
A few years ago, he was basically, you know, an offensive quality control guy. So you don't know, like, who, because you can't say, oh, I want Ben Johnson, because you're not getting a good offensive coordinator. When I say getting a good established offensive coordinator now, because those guys generally go as head coaches. So you're going to have to potentially get a guy that you think can be that guy. Like a Nick Caley, for example. And I only bring that name up because when he was here, we were like, oh, he's a young, he could be innovated. And then you put him in that role and then you see what he turns into.
978 texter says that Courtney nailed it. He's trying too hard to be the anti-Bill and he's ignoring any of the good things that he learned under Bill.
Well, yeah, we know that he was going to change the way he police the locker room or had his play.
Or did not police the
locker
room.
Yeah, that we knew was going to be different. As far as the Bill on-field stuff, how is he different than Bill? Like, give me examples. I'm asking this question.
Well, like, I think some would say that you would from time to time see Bill get literally down on his knees.
Okay.
Coach the defense up.
With the iPads.
Ramondre Stevenson wouldn't have just been benched for two minutes after a bad game.
Bill would have chosen the right direction when it came to overtime.
Gerard Mayo uses a punt returner on every punt.
Those are the things I see, but that's like more of the disciplinary things.
But it's on the field. It made it. And I'm not saying that Gerard Mayo made the wrong decision because Ramondre in that game came in and had an awesome one. So right.
And Gerard Mayo wears Robert Kraft's pin.
I would say
like Matt from Lunenburg in the Twitch chat says he's so anti-Bill that he does not do any in-game coaching of the players whatsoever.
That's
interesting move, Cotton.
See how it works out for him.
That's the anti-Bill.
Well, that's, Greg, that I think is...
I do not speak to anybody on the sidelines at any time, coaching staff or players.
Jerod Mayo is dating Martha Stewart.
That's the biggest...
Ooh, new Martha doc out? Very good.
Oh, it is excellent.
Very good.
Martha Stewart documentary. Yeah. Fantastic.
Can we do a podcast on the Netflix things you guys don't like?
Right.
She was wrong.
Yeah, she was robbed. And
she was robbed?
Robbed and wronged.
Wronged.
Everybody in Echelon looks up to Martha Stewart. That's their person they need to defend.
I mean, for her jail time?
She yeah.
Yes, she did. I mean, it made her a better person going to jail, mm-hmm. clearly.
Well, see, she didn't do the insider trader thing?
I don't think so. I don't feel like she did, no.
Why?
I mean, it was a random stock tip.
Yeah.
She didn't even know what the stock tip was.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
that's not what she went to jail for anyway.
No.
What she went to jail for?
She didn't go for insider trading. They ended up charging her with essentially obstruction of justice.
Okay. Yeah. Insurrection.
But everybody always thinks that she went to... I thought she went to jail for insider trading.
No. Mm-hmm.
So she went for obstruction of justice?
Mm-hmm. Learned that in the documentary, Curtis.
Well, thank you.
I saw that pop up. I'm like, no, thank you.
I'll hold you in contempt.
I have no empathy for Martha Stewart.
I'll put that on my make sure I watch the Martha Stewart documentary list.
Yes.
But I think you're right. The one thing
very close friends with Snoop.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, they had a show together.
You get to find out how that relationship developed.
Right.
She was upset with the music choices of the documentary. She wanted more rap.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, she's for them streets now. I don't know if you've seen that.
She's for them streets.
Oh, yeah, she's out there wilding out. You're right on the in-game stuff.
Her husband, he was smashing everything that walked while they were married.
I thought she was smashing.
Well, she had one little quick dalliance thing, but in general, he was a cad.
All right, they both were.
You are really into clearing the name of Martha Stewart.
You got to watch it.
Weird hill that I thought Greg would never die on.
You know, we got screwed, the Madoffs.
Because didn't she just come out and say, I had an affair on my husband for like 20 years?
Yeah, she said it was just like a random kiss in an airport with it. But it was
for 20 years?
Oh, yeah. Like she flies commercial.
I mean, I will say it was weird. Spoiler alert. She was on her honeymoon, and she went by herself to an art museum and was so overwhelmed by the experience of being at the art museum on her honeymoon that she made out with a random dude, like just some random dude that she had met.
Yeah.
At an art museum?
Yes. Yeah.
That's like the least sexual place on the planet.
Some would say quite the opposite.
Not for Martha.
No, Martha loves it.
Ooh, look at this Goya.
You've been sold a bill of rights about Martha Stewart, and I'm trying to correct the record.
All right, I guess it's all interesting stuff to learn about Martha Stewart.
Then again, we did hear about a woman who had an orgasm during a ballet.
Yep.
So
correct. Yes, you're right about that.
that person made that same noise around 11 p.m. on Tuesday.
All right, so excuse me. Ben Volen suggesting that the mistakes are piling up when it comes to Jerod Mayo. Is that a fair way to summarize that this morning, Curtis?
Yes. And okay. If the team is continuing to lose games and the coaching staff is not placing Drake May in a position to be successful, obviously Alex Van Pelt would be the first to go, but it's going to be a very interesting offseason should there be very sexy candidates out there, especially if Bill Belichick returns to the NFL.
How much does Rob blame on Jerod? Because that was the question I was gonna ask. Is it more about the personnel that you don't have?
I think they blame the personnel clearly on Bill Belichick. So that gives both Elliot Wolf and Jerod Mayo a pass from the Robert Kraft perspective.
Right, so then there you go. Maybe some of the coaching decisions don't look great because you don't have the talent.
Yeah. All right.
That draft, by the way, not looking great after Drake May. I mean, their first draft looks like absolute dog food.
Yeah.
And the receivers look just like the receivers they drafted before their arrival, which tells me they had a big hand in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, Elliot Wolf missed when it came to prioritizing the offensive line in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, their two free agents are out of the league.
I mean, I think he won the Matthew Judon trade, though.
Definitely. Yes.
He won that?
Based on the nothing that Matthew Judon has provided after departure. So I think he won that.
I would say he's in the plus when it comes to...
He's in the plus?
Because of Drake May. I think that overshadows your second,
when
fourth, or fifth round draft pick.
Everybody, you know, including Shime, is suggesting that this is the guy that you take if he's available at number three, and you take the guy at number three. Is that right?
I think if they took Drake May at one and they were picking first and Caleb and
Jaden Daniels were not playing that well, you could
say they get points for that.
Yeah. Well, there was a ton of people out there, and maybe they were just fans that were...
A few people were saying Bo Nix.
I'm saying Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess because he could have easily traded back, he could have did a build thing. So him taking the quarterback, I think, will outweigh if your second, fourth, and fifth round picks are not well.
It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up in 15 minutes at 9. Before that, though, new feature. Wiggy not like the rest of us. Next. My beloved Bruins shut out two of their last three losses, I believe, Shime. And we will talk with Mike Milbury about that on a Bruins Thursday coming up. But right now, we present a new feature to you on this show.
And now,
I saw something last night.
Yeah, all right.
Well, makes me want to jingle.
Another edition of
Christmas is what, January 1st, right?
Jermaine Wiggins.
This tickles my fanny.
Not like the rest of us.
People that go up in a plane to go into the eye of the storm.
Yeah, weather people.
They have a specific name, the ones that go into hurricanes.
Weather people.
Brought to you by Coleman Electric. Hey, Wiggy, what's Coleman?
Is it Pro Como?
No, we're electricians, dude. Coleman!
It's electric!
That sounds pretty good.
All right, going forward from time to time on this show, we will present this feature in which we go into the sometimes bizarre inner sanctum, which is the mind of Jermaine Wiggins.
And I would like to celebrate Coleman Electric. What an awesome open for this bit.
They did a great job.
Great.
Unbelievable job. That is Donnie Chinese, who doubles as the spokesperson for Coleman Electric.
All right.
And did a great job with that. So
Chinese! Chinese, kid!
So, Shime, what did you pick as the Wiggy not like the rest of us moment from this week?
Well, one of the ballot questions this year was about legalizing psychedelic mushrooms.
Okay.
So we got into a discussion with Ty Law about mushrooms and where they come from, and Wiggy was astonished at the fact that all his mushrooms come from a certain substance or area. And here was that exchange with the whole crew.
But you know where it come from now.
The earth here for you.
Yeah, no, hey, Shine. That's where shrooms come from?
All right, yep. We're down to 3 seconds.
All right.
Yeah, can't do that again. No more of those. Okay.
I didn't know.
Well, they do grow in, if you're talking about what they are grown in, they grow in
poop. But I do like mushrooms on my burger, though. The regular mushrooms come from the same place?
Yes.
Like, you know, regular sautéed mushrooms. No, I love mushrooms on my pizza.
Right.
I do, too.
But do they come from the same place?
Yes.
For real? Yeah. Except they don't clean the shrooms?
They clean all of them. Everything's clean.
Everything is clean. All right.
I learned a lot.
You did learn a lot with Ty Law this week.
Yeah, I didn't know mushrooms
came. Very important when it comes to...
The psychedelic mushrooms come from duty.
The fungi. You're a fungi. All right.
I did not know that.
We had a couple honorable mentions as well. A couple moments that stood out to me this week from Wiggy. Another moment we had when Ty Law was on the program. Wiggy might have misspoken a moment on trying to say a certain common phrase. Here was that.
Maybe trade. I know it's sky in the pie, and I've been saying, and I'll keep beating this.
That one was good. And then from Monday, following the Patriots game, Greg was referencing the beautiful weather we've been having this late in the year, and Wiggy decided he needed to jump in during Greg's mid-sentence.
No, but don't you think, so you don't mind it's November 4th? Well, it was November, just the month in general.
Well, you had paused, so
it was
also
the 4th.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Some people were like, what's the date, November? You try to help them out 4th.
And you nailed the date.
I really did nail the date.
And that is well done. So,
Sky the Pie would be a great restaurant name.
Oh, yes.
Sky, that's a great call.
Yeah.
There you go. See? I mean, you know, that's how the mind works.
Yep.
Creativity is the key.
You are a creator.
I appreciate that. Sky in the Pie, and I've been saying, and I'm...
Yeah. All right. Well, I like that new segment.
All right, good job. That
and
was funny.
It is presented by Coleman Electric.
Coleman!
It's electric!
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We will get to Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app